Antibiotics are obviously incredibly useful and they've been used for many, many years, revolutionised medicine and healthcare. Trouble is, disease-causing bacteria get used to them and become resistant, and that's what's led to so-called superbugs that can't be treated with any modern antibiotic. It's a problem we've known about for a long time, but what are we doing to address the threat and what more needs to be done? Here's some of a panel discussion I moderated at the World Science Festival last weekend, looking at that very question. Joining me were Professor Peter Collignon, Professor Cheryl Jones, Dr. Mark Blaskovich, and Dr. Crispin Hajkowicz. So Cheryl, how have we got into this crappy state that we've got into with antibiotics?
So Norman, I think fundamentally what underlies all of this is that we just didn't appreciate antibiotics for the important resource that they are, a bit like fossil fuels. And there's four real drivers that got us here. The first is that we've overused or misused our antibiotics, both in humans and animals. We've also not appropriately undertaken infection control, so we haven't prevented the spread of these infections when they've arisen.
Old-fashioned stuff like washing your hands.
Old-fashioned stuff gets us every time. We've also not been able to detect these infections when they arise and link that to some sort of public health action. And finally, we simply haven't got the pipeline of drug discovery that there was before.
How important is that drug pipeline? Because as soon as they produce a new one, almost, it goes resistant.
The pipeline is important, and it's important that as these infections evolve that we have new things up our sleeve, but also that we recycle our antibiotics or use them wisely, the ones we have, so that they become effective again.
Crispin, before I forget, let's just cover off on hand washing here.
Sure.
Because you know there's now alcohol at the bottom of each bed in most hospitals in Australia. Patients are supposed to demand that their nurse or phlebotomist or doctor washes their hands. None of them do. But to what extent are we actually doing the old-fashioned thing of washing hands in hospitals?
The bad news is we don't do it very well, but the good news is we're getting better. Nurses and allied health and physiotherapists are doing it well. We still have a problem with doctors, unfortunately, washing their hands unbelievably. And people should ask the doctor, have you cleaned your hands? Very reasonable question, but we know people are too intimidated to ask that question.
But aren't there some bugs that aren't done by the alcohol, like gastric bugs? You've got to actually wash your hands with
soap. There are some rare exceptions where traditional soap and water is the best, and yet overall the impact of alcohol-based hand rub is a massive decrease in infection transmission in hospitals, particularly for things like MRSA, golden staph, huge decreases because of quality hand hygiene. And at the end of the day, if you were to wash your hands with soap and water all day on a nursing shift, you might spend 1 to 2 hours of your 8-hour shift washing your hands. The alcoholic hand rub is a 30-second process.
That's right, so it's economically efficient.
Yeah, time efficient, that's right.
We think that it's a hospital problem, but in fact most resistant bugs now are coming in from the community. Is that right, Peter?
Well, a large number can. It depends on the bug. I mean, the MRSA bug, we used to think is only hospital.
That's a
golden staph that's resistant to the standard antibiotics. But now a bigger proportion of those are out in the community. And it's the same for a whole lot of the worst bugs around the world, like tuberculosis. That's not a hospital bug, it's a community bug. And there's a whole lot of bugs that even can come across from agriculture to people, like Salmonella, but even E. coli, the commonest bacterial strain infecting people. It's out there in the community. It's not a hospital transmission issue.
Now, Mark, you've got a centre called the Centre for Superbug Solutions. You better start telling us, how do you define a superbug?
So one thing, when we're talking about antibiotic resistance, there's a popular misconception of what that actually means. So just to clarify, when we're talking about antibiotic resistance, it's bacteria that have become resistant to being killed by the antibiotics that used to be able to kill them. It's not your body becoming resistant to the antibiotics, it's the actual bacteria themselves. So in terms of how bacteria become resistant to the antibiotics, there are a number of different mechanisms. You know, every single antibiotic that's ever been introduced, resistance has developed relatively quickly within a couple of years of the introduction. So it's nothing new, and it's just that we're now no longer producing antibiotics fast enough to keep up with the rise in resistant strains. So some bacteria can actually change the chemical structure of the antibiotics, so they inactivate it. Other bacteria mutate so that the target that the antibiotic is meant to act on no longer exists. Other antibiotics essentially build a better wall around themselves to stop the antibiotics from getting in. And then other bacteria can actually just pump the antibiotics out faster than they can get in, so it doesn't allow the antibiotic to reach its target inside the bacteria.
And how amenable are each of those mechanisms to fixing?
So it depends. And there's been, you know, a lot of research ever since the first antibiotics were developed, trying to come up with new and improved versions that can overcome these different resistant mechanisms. And the most scary bacteria these days are these gram-negative bacteria that have an additional membrane around them that makes it more difficult to get antibiotics in. And so traditionally, that's been the hardest type of bacteria to target. And because they have developed so many different resistance mechanisms, it's hard to get around all of them, because bacteria, they generally reproduce about every 20 minutes, depending on the type of bacteria. So it's the new generations can introduce new mutations very quickly.
Professors Peter Collingyong and Cheryl Jones, and doctors Mark Blaskovich and Crispin Hajkovic were speaking on this panel that I moderated just this weekend past, Bugs and Drugs, the Resistance Wars at the World Science Festival in Brisbane.